There's something about your particular style that just seems to bring peace. And you know, we talk sometimes about manifestations of the Holy Spirit. This morning, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit that I saw was the moment the Spirit broke through and people started lighting these candles. It was as though a flood came and it was person after person coming up to light candles. So that's what I saw this morning. So praise God for that. Pastor Dan, your message last week was fantastic. What a blessing. You know, I went down to Florida this past week, and I visited a friend of mine's church right just off of Daytona Beach, and the message was for me. The message that he gave was for me. Little did I know that when I left there and listened to Pastor Dan's message, that one was prepared for me too. It was exactly where the Holy Spirit needed to speak into my life. So thank you, Pastor Dan, for your willingness to preach that last week. So this morning we are doing our third message in our One Anothering series. Now, I started it 2 weeks ago, and then Pastor Dan continued it last week. And then this week we're talking about, we have a message put together called Outdo One Another. Outdo One Another. Now, I want to tell you, Romans chapter 12, verse 10, the second half of it, is the only portion of the scripture that I've seen where the Apostle Paul tells us to outdo one another. It's as though for this particular thing that he's going to talk about, there's an aspect of competitiveness that he is encouraging. And in just a couple minutes, we're going to talk about exactly what he says to outdo one another in, because that's pretty important. Yes? If he just said outdo one another, there's all kinds of different connotations that could mean, right? But when we started this series 2 weeks ago, I mentioned to you that our base verse for this series was going to be Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. So this is what Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says. Do nothing from selfishness. How much are we supposed to do from selfishness? That's super easy, right? I mean, you guys got that nailed down, right? Joshy, it's so good to have you back. Joshy's back from China. We're so happy to see him this morning. I'm sure Nana's heart is full this morning having him back. Do nothing from selfishness. And then the Apostle Paul says, in addition to doing nothing from selfishness, do nothing from empty conceit. And the idea of empty conceit is an effort to make yourself look good. So do nothing from selfishness and do nothing from trying to make yourself look good. But rather, instead of that, with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. And I know that you all have that on lockdown too, right? Regarding one another as more important than yourselves. You know, if I was to think of a group of people that probably most have that worked out, it's mothers. Really, I mean, you think about how often mothers make sacrifices for their family, make sacrifices for their children, even make sacrifices for their husbands. So if there's a group of people that has that close to on lockdown, I would say it's mothers. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Then Paul says, do not merely look out for your own interests. Then that word merely there means, okay, are you going to look out for your own interests? Yes. But merely means not just your own interests. You need to take care of your business, right? But not merely taking care of yourselves. Okay, look out for the interests of others. All right, that's Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. I want to go back up here to this idea of empty conceit, okay? Empty conceit is the idea of trying to make yourself look good. Now, some of us have come in contact with people who I would call one-uppers. Do you know what a one-upper is? One-upper is a person who always has to tell a better story than you. Okay? If things are going really good in your life, a one-upper always has a story that's better than what you're than the victory that you've had. And if things are going really poorly in your life, a one-upper has a story about how afflicted they are and how it trumps what you're going through. Okay? That's the idea of a one-upper. Now, how many of you know somebody like that? Come on, more of you than that. Okay. You know somebody that if you're really excited about something, you don't tell that person that story. There are other people that you will tell that story to, but not that person. Why? Because you'll feel as though they minimize whatever it is that you're going through in order to make themselves look good. That's the idea of a one-upper. This morning I have a video that I want to show you. It's from a movie. It's called The Avengers: Infinity War. And we just watched this again last night. We hadn't seen it in a while. There's this scene here where Thor meets Star-Lord, yes, those are their names in this movie, for the first time, okay? And Star-Lord may be just a little bit intimidated by Thor. Let's go ahead and watch this.
Families can be tough.
Before my father died, he told me that I had a half-sister that he imprisoned in hell. Then she returned home and stabbed me in the eye, so I had to kill her. That's life that was not, I guess. Round and round, and I feel your pain.
I feel your pain as well, because,
it's not a competition, but... Just a second. I didn't plan to pause that, but let me explain what he just said, okay, in case you didn't hear it. Thor's father had another daughter that Thor had never heard of before, and in one of the movies, Thor had to fight against her, okay? Now, what Thor is saying is families can be difficult, all right? Now, if you've ever watched the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, Star-Lord is going to respond to that as far as how families can be difficult, okay? Go ahead, Jeremiah.
I've been through a lot. My father killed my mother, and then I had to kill my father. That was hard. Probably even harder than having to kill a sister. Plus, I came out with both my eyes, which was...
I need a hammer, not a spoon. How do I open this thing? That's some sort of, four-digit code, maybe a birthday.
What are you doing?
Taking your pod.
No, you're not. You will not be taking our pod today, sir.
Quill, are you making your voice deeper?
No, you are. You're imitating the Godman. It's weird.
No, I'm not.
He just did it again.
This is my voice.
Are you mocking me? Are you mocking me? Stop it, you just didn't do it again.
Now, if you got nothing else out of that, ladies, you're welcome for me showing Chris Hemsworth and Chris Pratt on the screen this morning. I have another short video that I want to show you. This one's from Saturday Night Live, and I know some of you don't watch Saturday Night Live. I don't watch it on the regular either, but there's a woman who's a recurring character. Her name is Penelope. Okay, and if you've seen Saturday Night Live before, you'll remember this Penelope character.
I'd like to have you all tell each other why you're here. Jim, why don't you start?
Well, I had an accident. My insurance rates went through the roof.
I went through the roof, too, so they were just really high. I went around the roof and inside of it, and they were just, oh, so high. They just were all over the roof, so I guess they're higher than yours. Mine was really high.
You want to pause it there? Okay, you see that face that he has? How many of you, when you're talking to the one-upper, you have to be very careful that you don't make that face? Yeah? Right? Okay, go
ahead.
Anyway,
my insurance company said if I completed this class, they'd lower my rates.
Mine said they lower my rates, too. So much they pay for me. I guess my insurance company is better than yours, so it's Geico.
Penelope, could you please sit down? All right, who is next? Randy?
All right, well, I made an illegal left turn. And I got speeding tickets.
I have 99 speeding tickets.
Go ahead a little bit further.
So fast, I broke the sound barrier. Drove to the future. In the future, I already took this class, and everybody passed. Congratulations.
Okay, lady, you're freaking me out.
All right, settle down. We've got a really long, hard day ahead of us. Can everyone please, please, just listen and be quiet?
I was already listening before I came, so... My voice is so quiet, it doesn't even make a sound.
Okay. All right, pause it right there again. There's that face again, right? Right? That's the face. You have to be very careful that you don't make that face when you're around a one-upper. Now, if we think about it, we all know these people. And sometimes we might be these people, to be quite honest. And if you have a hard time building relationships, you might want to take a look in the mirror and see if you might be the one-upper, okay? Now, there is only one time in the scripture that we are told to be the one-upper. All right, Romans chapter 12, verse 10, okay? Outdo one another. In showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. That's the only time that we're told that we need to outdo one another. That's the only time where it's okay to be competitive with one another. It's never to pat ourselves on the back. It's always to pat someone else on the back. It's always to show appreciation for someone else, who they are and what they've done. In fact, that word honor, we have an idea of what it means in English, but in Greek it's just a little bit different, okay? In Greek, the word honor means a value, okay? It means esteem. It means show dignity. So when I talk about outdoing one another and showing honor, what I'm saying is, let people know that you value them. Let people know that you value who they are and what they do. Not just what they do, but remember that aspect of who they are. Remember, all people are made in God's image and in His likeness. And all people inherently have value. So if we're going to outdo one another in showing honor, what we really want to do is outdo one another in showing how much you mean to one another. You good with that? All right, so let me show you a couple verses where this word honor is used. John chapter 4, verse 44, Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. The prophet that goes to his own country has no value to the people of that country, okay? But if he goes and speaks to people of another area, then they welcome him. All right? So Jesus says a prophet has no honor, no value. They don't esteem him in his own country. Okay? Acts chapter 4, verse 34. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land would sell them and bring the proceeds or value of the sales. That's that same word that gets translated in our Romans chapter 12, verse 10, as honor, the word proceeds. It's an amount of value, okay? And then 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, for you have been bought with a price. What was that price? It was the death of Christ, right? The death of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That was the price that had to be paid. This is the same word that's translated honor in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, okay? You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. So when it comes to what is honor, it means valuing someone. It means esteeming them. And it doesn't mean just valuing them as an amount or a number. Like one of the things that drives women crazy in a bad way is being objectified, right? Saying that a woman is only worth something this to a person. You're telling them you're not valuable as a person. You're not valuable in the image of God. You're only valuable for the things that you do. And that's not at all what the scripture talks about. What the scripture talks about is women being valuable because they've been made in the image of God, because of who they are and what they do. Now, there's no passage, I think, that explains that better than the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. And I'm going to start in verse 10 here. The author writes, "An excellent wife, who can find?" Or another translation says, "Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like a ship of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates." Now, of course, those are examples. Not every woman is going to do all of those things. Many of those things are not even common anymore. But you can tell an excellent woman. There's some very similar principles between a woman who takes care of her family. Now, there was a website. It's called I think it's called salary.com. Yes, salary.com. They did something a couple years ago where they put together exactly how much if a stay-at-home mom was paid for all of the things that she did. There was a thing put together that would tell approximately how much it was worth. Did I drop a piece of paper over there? No? Okay. And here's what it says. Moms, we know you're worth it. And then, how much is it really worth? Okay? And so they put together this idea, and they said, putting a price tag on a job is hard to do, but we gave it a shot anyway. On Mother's Day, Salary.com, the leader in compensation data, planning, and analytics, would like to honor all the moms out there who work the hardest day in and day out. We would like to recognize both professional and stay-at-home moms on their unwavering dedication to their families and other responsibilities. We selected a handful of jobs that reflect a day in the life of moms. So listen to this list. Academic advisor, accountant, art director, athletic director, bookkeeper, buyer, CEO, coach, daycare center teacher, dietitian, education, event planner, executive housekeeper, facilities director, groundskeeping, interior designer, janitor, senior janitor, by the way, judge or magistrate, laundry manager, logistics assistant, maintenance supervisor, marketing manager, network administrator, photographer, plumber, public school teacher, psychologist, recreational therapist, staff nurse, social media, tailor, tax accountant, teacher vocational, and work-life program manager. They put all those things together. Does that sound familiar, moms? Some of those things? They put all those things together, and they determined that the average salary for a mom should be $162,581. Does that sound about right? Per child. Ladies, whether you're a mom or not, you are super valuable, not only to us, but to God as well. And there is no way that we could even come close to compensating for the things that you do on a regular basis. You do them just naturally. You do them just naturally. They pour out of your heart, out of a heart of love, where you naturally regard one another as more important than yourselves. And it is so difficult for us to do that. So difficult to regard other people as more important than yourselves. And you do it on a regular basis. So we praise God for you. There's one more verse that I want to share with you. It's out of the book of 1 Peter. And Peter uses a phrase in here that I'm not going to be held responsible for. This is Peter saying this, okay? This is God's word. So if you have an argument with it, you can argue with him. All right? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as someone weaker. That's the phrase that I'm not taking credit for. Since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Let me give you one more translation of this verse. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Amen? Guys, that was your moment right there. I threw it out there. Let's try that one more time. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Guys, amen? Amen. Oh, okay. All right. So you know what? Let's take a moment now to show some moms some honor. And so I'm going to start. And I wrote this to my wife, Betsy. Now, here's the thing. 2 weeks ago, I preached a message said, regard one another as more important than yourselves, right? And I opened up the mic and I said, all right, give me one way that this week you're going to regard someone as more important than yourselves. And I should have told Jerry not to let Betsy have the microphone. But she took the microphone, and you know what she said? She said, my husband really needs a vacation, which was true, so true. She knows before I know when I need a vacation, okay? She said, my husband really needs a vacation, and she let me take one. Now, that is her regarding me as more important than herself, because that means that she's going to have a lot more stress and strain on her throughout the week, right? If I'm gone, a lot more responsibility falls on her. Well, I got down from the stage and I started walking back this way. And before I even got back to my seat, Jeff Beecraft approached me and he said, hey, you know what? I'm going to be in Tampa, Florida this week. And if you want to come down, I've already got the hotel paid for.
Praise the Lord.
And I said,
Sold.
So this impromptu vacation I didn't know I was going to be taking, I got to spend it with a great guy, Jeff Beecraft, down there. And I want to read this about my wife with one more little tweak first. You know, she works full-time. She works at a daycare 40 hours a week right now, sometimes more than 40 hours a week. This weekend, she decided to work at Edible Arrangements, her old job as well. She worked 14 hours yesterday. She got up this morning, went in at 6 o'clock in the morning, and worked until 9 o'clock this morning as well. We don't need her to do that, but she did that anyway for our family. So my couple sentences says, Betsy, I am blessed to have been a couple with you for more than half of my life now. You are compassionate to so many in our congregation, a great mother, and diligent in helping provide for our family, and a loving wife. Today I honor you. Happy Mother's Day, Betsy. Amen. And I do have one up here, and like I said, I will read them if you want me to. This one is from Bill, Phil, and Denny McKenzie. It says, my mother was a wise, compassionate, beautiful, a wonderful hostess, devoted to God and her husband and her family. We lived right next door to them for more than 25 years of our married life in harmony. She put so much good into all her grandkids. I believe she is embarrassed at the many crowns she has earned in this life. Her joy is complete in Jesus. Helen Ruth McKenzie, mother of Bill, Phil, and Denny McKenzie.
Amen.
Hey, Larry, do we have a closing song?
I could do that same song again.
Yeah, come on up here. Hey, gentlemen, I want you to turn to your wives. I've got one more thing that I want you to say to them before we close, okay? I want you to say, look at them and say, honey, I value you for who you are and what you do for our family. I thank God that you are my equal partner in God's gift of new life. Amen. Ladies, on your way out this morning, we have a carnation that we'd like to give you. Brother Mark is going to be standing by the door. Feel free to pick whatever color you want. If you hang around a little while, we may have some extras too. So if you have other people that you'd like to give those out to as well. Father, we thank you so much for mothers. We thank you for the Apostle Paul's command to regard one another as more important than ourselves. We thank you for how mothers do that day in and day out. Whether they are physical mothers or spiritual mothers, they invest into the lives of those you've placed in their care, Lord. Father, I want to pray also for those who have lost a child this morning. Not that they lost it this morning, but that they have lost a child, Lord. I pray that you would comfort them because I know that that's a hole that just doesn't go away, Lord. I pray that you would give the peace and the comfort that only you can. But Lord, we are just so thankful to be your children. We're thankful to be brothers and sisters in you. We thank you that Paul gave this other command as well, to outdo one another, but with the caveat of outdo one another in showing honor to other people, which does cost us. It's not always comfortable. It requires us to think of someone else as more important than us. So Lord, as we go from here, help us to be people who show one another honor. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.